to do and how to be a Christian?
Yes, very good. Did he give us anything different for men and women? Yes, because the answer was no, we can just sit here for 45 minutes and, you know, rest while they talk.
Yes, he did.
And that's what we're going to look at. I'm going to start with just glancing at a couple of the general instructions he gave all Christians. He did give us all instructions to follow and characteristics to possess. First one, very familiar to us, let's meet the fruits of the Spirit. Come on. Very good. They're listed on your paper if you don't remember them all. They are. Those are things, that alone is a mouthful for us to fulfill. But that's something all Christians are given the instruction for. Love. Joy. Peace. Long suffering or patience. Tenderness. Goodness. Faithfulness. It's in these things that we are like the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit. And what do we not do? We don't become conceited. We don't provoke one another. We don't envy. Those things that are complete opposite. I'm looking at Colossians 3. Same way. He gives up the list of things that we have put on, we've taken away as we've become Christians and living God's life, and things we put on. And I didn't list them, the first chapter 3, things you put on, put to death, want to sit at the right hand of God. Start looking in verse 5. What are we putting off? Fornication. And most of us go, well, I don't do that. Uncleanness. No, okay, I don't do that. I'm not really sure what that means. That's an old Bible term, right? Uncleanness versus cleanness. Passion, evil desire, covetousness, idolatry. Okay. Let's look at these if they're a little bit closer. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, bad language, talking bad about others. Those sound a little bit more like something we might deal with a little bit more in our daily lives, doesn't it? Don't lie. These things we have all put away. This is to all Christians. Looking at 1 Peter chapter 3. And I have all of your verses written out. I just have a few holes in y'all to fill in. 1 Peter chapter 3. Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers. And I don't mean as fighting 8 and 9, 10-year-olds. I mean as true family should love and care for one another. Be tender-hearted, courteous, polite, not returning evil for evil, reviling for reviling. The complete opposite of that. Blessings. Knowing that we can get the blessing. He who would love life and see good days. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, his lips from speaking deceit. Turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That alone right there makes an impression on me, because the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. He listens to my prayers. Tracy talked about prayer last night. We pray for each other. Fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But God's faith is against those who do evil. We talk about the wrath of God here. I don't want his wrath on me. Those are general Christians. The guy's got that, the girl's got that, everybody's got that. Let's get a little more specific for the women. Start from the very beginning. Go to Genesis. Genesis 2, verse 18 and 24. And the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Verse 24. Therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. What's my first instruction? Why did God make me? Be a helper. I'm comparable. A helper, compatible, and comparable to man. What's a helper do? That's a broad question. You can cheat. Got the answers up there. What's a helper do?
Support.
Encourage. Pray for. So you talked a lot about prayer last night. I'll talk about it from my standpoint for a second. Who in here has experienced the fact that guys don't like a lot of help? And if they do, they don't want to admit it anyway. All right, now, there we go. They don't like to read the instructions. They'd rather not ask for directions. And if you got one that does, very good. Congratulations. So they don't always want to think they need help. We all need help as Christians. I need your prayers. You need my prayers. As spouses, we need each other's help in prayers. In our marriage, in our goal to be Christians that go to heaven, in raising our children. That's something I can do, is pray. I can be a helper to him through prayer. I should be thankful for him. Y'all heard him last night. He does pretty good, doesn't he? That's okay. Glad I got him. I need to pray for be thankful for his positive traits. The fact that he's a Christian. The fact that he's hardworking. The fact that he loves me and my children. The fact that he loves God. I can pray for his needs. He's got physical needs. He has struggles at work, health, job uncertainty. You can pray for physical things. You can certainly always pray for their spiritual things. That they'll avoid temptation. They'll always honor God and put him first. Be spiritually minded. And always be a good example to others. You can help them and they don't have to know it, and it works okay. There is a way to help them.
And one thing you can pray that they'll always stand firm in the faith and never stray.
That's right. That's right. So, the words down here, love the Lord with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. Always. Because temptation comes, it varies. They get tempted too. And always pray for that. Another instruction in Genesis 2. Leave parents and become one. You may ever notice that God gave that instruction before there were earthly parents. God thought enough of that instruction to go ahead and say it from the very beginning. Adam and Eve didn't have parents when they were given the instruction to leave and flee. That was it. I mean, it was just them and God. Thought enough of that to put that from the beginning so we know it. Become one with our husband. Does that mean once we get married, I lose my identity? I'll come in the shadows and walk behind, and I've heard those terms used before. Before I got married, I was asked, are you going to walk 2 steps behind them all the time now? That's the first time I ever heard that asked. And I was like, no. We'll talk a little bit about submission later. That is important. He is the head of the household. That doesn't mean I lose my identity. I'm not still a Christian. I don't still have responsibilities. As one means, you don't lose your identity. It's two unique people. Working together, striving together, depending on each other, with hopefully the same goal of going to heaven. It's a together project now. It's a partnership. There's no losing identity there. You can help guide and balance each other. Listen to thoughts and ideas. He's got ideas to bounce off me and ideas I need to bounce off him. Whether they're spiritually related or physically related. And because guys and girls are different, sometimes the different points of view help. You know, he may say it in one way and I saw it from completely different. And you merge those together. Look at Titus. Titus 2, verses 3 through 5. Turn in there. Who can quickly think of one Bible woman who is a very strong supporter to her husband? Esther was a good wife. She wasn't who I was thinking about. Male. Okay.
Abigail.
Abigail. One thing about her either. Okay. But Sharon.
Priscilla.
Priscilla. I was thinking about her. Priscilla. Every time you hear Aquila and Priscilla mentioned, they are together. They are working together, supporting each other. Say in Genesis, how about Noah's wife? Noah had a long time to build that boat to get laughed at. I think he had a hard day coming home sometimes to be a supporter and for her to climb on there with all those animals, with the unknown. She stayed faithful and was a supporter. She was a complete opposite supporter. Job's wife, first one that comes to mind. Job could use her strength and faith at that time in his life, and he didn't have it. Titus 2. Older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teacher of good things, that they admonish young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. Have you ever really thought about the word, what reverent means? Kind of word I use every day in conversation, but reverence. You think, okay, quiet, be reverent, you're quiet in church, you know, be respectful, reverent. Like holiness. Older women are to teach the younger women and be reverent, like holiness in behavior. There we go. That's a big mouthful. That's a big responsibility there. I'm supposed to be enough like God and like holiness that I can teach someone else that same behavior. Not slandering. That's not uncommon for us. We heard left here lessons on not gossiping, keeping our mouths shut, not spreading things. It was not easy to do, but we hear lessons on it. Not a drinker. Teacher. Older women are to teach the younger. Younger women are to be taught. That's an attitude on both parts. Everybody in here younger than somebody? Everybody in here older than somebody? Okay, and you now fall in both groups. You're an older person teaching a younger person. And you are a younger person being taught. Or you should be. Anybody at any age can learn. Be willing to teach and to learn. Teach by words. Sure. Teach by action. Definitely. Teach by the way you react and your mature thinking. Hopefully. Hopefully as that time comes you learn that. Same kind of discreet. First time I ever looked up the definition of this word. What comes to mind when you think of discreet? It may not be the same thing that came to my mind.
Modest.
Modest. Okay, modest. I think discreet, I kind of think secretive. Let's be quiet, we don't want people to find this out. You know, kind of sneaking around in the movies or something, you know. Let's look through this drawer, we're going to be discreet about it. You know. Discreet is not secretive and sneaking around. Sound-minded, sensible, self-controlled, using wisdom, wise restraint. That's not the meaning I originally had in my head for years of what discreet was. But that sober-mindedness, when you apply it to things. Chase is also not a word I use every day in conversation, but I'll try to throw it in today for you. Chase. Purity. I think we think purity when we think chasteness. It's in our thoughts and our conduct. What you think is going to come out in your actions, whether you mean for it to or not. You can think it and think, okay, that's in the back of my head, but then I can live this way, other way. Whatever's in your head, you're eventually going to live. It will permeate all your life. Homemaker. Oh, the homemaker. Yeah, the person that gets stuck at home, they don't get to go out and live their life. They have to do the dishes and do the laundry and all that stuff. It's okay. That is a command. the choice I make, whether I follow that command. So now I get tired of picking up the dirty socks, and I get tired of always having to take out the garbage and things like that. Eventually, hopefully my children will do that for me, but it's much more than keeping that house and doing the laundry and the dishes. I'm the family keeper. I have a family that helped get to heaven. It is so much more than, oh, I'm supposed to take care of this home. That's how society looks down at it, I think, sometimes. Oh, you're a homemaker. You stay at home all the time. Yeah. Might go to work part-time, too. That's okay, too. I have a huge responsibility at home to help my husband get to heaven, help me get to heaven, and certainly to help my children learn to get to heaven. And I have to have my attitude right about it. It's a command. It's a choice I make whether I obey that command or not. Good, we use that word a lot, upright and moral. Obedient. Subjection to someone, to listen to them, submit to them. Ephesians 5:33 says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular love his own wife as himself, which granted that to the guys to us. Let the wife see that she respects her husband. How many of you have experienced watching a husband and wife say at the ball field or somewhere and how they interact with each other? They can bite and snap. They can yell shut up at each other. They can, you know, give each other that dirty look of I thought you were supposed to take care of this and now you're dumping it on me. Not respect. And sometimes they hide it. They're okay out in public and it's at home that's the issue. But God's command is to respect. In actions and in words. That again is a conscious decision I make. God commanded it. Like every other command God gives, I can choose whether I do it or not. It is a conscious choice I make whether I follow that. Not always, it may not always be easy. Always a command. Always a command. A couple ways I can show respect. By not desiring to control every situation and every outcome. If you have a discussion, you don't have to always be right. You may be right, but it's okay. You're supposed to work together. Make those decisions together and alongside them. You may need to make compromises. I'll pick on safety. You may have to go to the wedding you don't want to go to because he feels that's the thing you ought to do. I listened to safety in a conversation last night. You need to encourage them with positive words and positive example. I need to respect the fact that his soul needs to go to heaven too. A respectful attitude has a powerful impact. We'll talk about Proverbs in a minute. But the mocking and nagging disposition, if I'm always after them, always picking about something, always aggravating about something, always fussing, is extremely destructive. He's thinking about being aggravated at me, and great, what am I going to say to him next and pick on instead of how he needs to be living for God? Thank
you. I've heard it said before, and usually it's been by an older woman who may end up with a husband who is a drunkard or, you know, has cheated on her or whatever. Well, he doesn't deserve my respect. You know, and maybe he is a lousy husband. Mm-hmm. Maybe he is a bum. Maybe he's this or that or the other. And I'm sorry. That the fact that he holds the position of your husband is the position that deserves your respect. Maybe as an individual, he hasn't done anything to earn it. Mm-hmm. But God says you respect him because he's your husband.
He may not be fulfilling his end of
exactly.
His commandment.
And he'll answer for whether he has earned it. He doesn't have to earn it. That's between him and God.
Right.
Your position, your responsibility is to show him respect because he holds the position of being your husband.
Right. God didn't put any disclaimers on that command when he said, wives, respect your husband. Very good. 1 Peter 3. If you were here last night, Tracy started chomping on my material last night with this. He put that up there. 1 Peter 3, 1 through 4. Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some of them do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. And they observe your chaste conduct, accompanied by fear. Do not let your adornment be merely outward, arranging the hair, wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Rather, let it be hidden person of the heart, with the incorruptible beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Very precious in the sight of God. What am I told to do? Be submissive to my husband. Yielding, following. Again, does that mean he's walking all over me? Not if he's holding up his instruction that they're getting. But I am, Genesis 3:16, part of the punishment, he shall rule over you. That's God's way. I need to live my life by my example so others should be won by my conduct. Whether it's my husband, because I'm married to an unbeliever or one that's fallen away, non-Christian, or whether it's someone else. I need to live my life so that even without speaking a word, my life is shining. It's a chase for it again. Pure in thought and actions. Inward beauty. Inward beauty. Is anything wrong? Combing my hair. Dressing nice. No, Tracy talked about it last night. Not as long as the attitude is right with it. It's that inward beauty. It's going a step further than that. Character of the heart. Are you living those fruits of the Spirit? Kindness, gentleness, peacefulness, joy of being a Christian. Is that what's showing in your beauty? God's taught me all the things He didn't want me to do that pulled His wrath. He's also told me a gentle and quiet spirit, soft, mild, is a great work. Very precious in His sight. I know what I can do to make Him happy. He didn't leave any ifs on that one. It's exactly what I need to do. Colossians 3:18. The short one. Submit to your own husband as is fitting in the Lord. Submissive to my own husband. Am I submissive to one of your husbands? No, I'm respectful, just as Christians should be with each other. Polite, tender, kind. All the things I'm supposed to be with other Christians. But am I submissive to them? No, it's my own husband. But as much as God says that, what am I submissive to him? The Lord. What is fitting in the Lord. So, he says, we're not going to church that day. God now overruled what he said. I need to go to church that day. Is it very hard to not be on the same page with who you're married to and living in that house and trying to do things that's like, no, we're going to use our money for something else now. You know, don't have that problem, thankfully. People do. God is first, man is second. He is so important, and I cannot stress this enough. And y'all are young enough, most of you, that you haven't had this yet. Some of you are older. So important to have those same goals and beliefs. And to know this before you get married. Too late afterwards. Sign the papers, divorce isn't an option. You go into marriage and, you know, you don't go into it with a back door way out. You're going to marriage, you're going to marriage. If you find it out beforehand, you need to know this. And this takes time. Now, I don't mean, hey, we dated 6 weeks and had all these talks. Great, you may know everything. It took me more than 6 weeks. It took me a lot longer. Will he help you and your children get to heaven? And as you're starting out dating, which some of you would be, you're thinking, really? Charles, marriage already? No, I don't want you to think about getting married at 13, 15, 18. That's still okay. You can still push that off a little bit. It's okay. But I want you to think about always in the back of your mind is that goal. I got to get to heaven. I want my family to get to heaven. Is there going to be somebody in my house helping me do that? Or is there going to be a stumbling block that I'm daily having to work with or against? Will he help you and your children get to heaven? Deuteronomy 6. Your children. You shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. Combine them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. What have I got to be able to do? What do I have to do or know before I can teach my children daily? I can't teach what I don't know. To know it. It has to be in my heart, part of my life. I can't, some of the variations on that word, impress the Lord's command on your children. If I don't live it, I'm not impressing them. I'm not giving them that pattern to follow. Another one was phrased, get it inside of me before I have to get it inside of my children. To know this. Commit myself wholeheartedly to these commands and repeat them again and again and again for children. To anyone, the children or what's in my house that I have instruction for. All ages can be called. Constantly. Whether it's when I go to work, you go to school, my family at home. Everybody can be called. Everybody can learn. I need to live my life. I need to live yours. So others can be one to Christ. That's our goal. To get to heaven and take somebody with us, hopefully. Teach them. We put that material out there, and then it's their decision. Hey, where are some places you can teach? Church? Classroom?
Internet.
Internet?
In a car on the way to somewhere?
Certainly, you can tell Bible stories, you can discuss topics, anywhere. Anywhere. Classroom, you can go read the Bible with someone, home studies, one-on-one, just tell Bible stories. Again, I have to know them to teach them. I have to know that material. What am I teaching? Well, do this first. Make a conscious effort to be a good example all the time. It takes even more effort for me not to be a stumbling block to somebody else. Because I have to think about constantly my behavior, but on top of that, I have to think about how you see my behavior, how you interpreted my words to make sure they did not cause you a problem. What am I teaching? I'm teaching respect. Is there anything more important than to fear God that you need to teach? Because in fearing God comes with the obedience and comes following His instructions. Teach the authority. God's power. I don't want God's wrath on me. I want to be very precious in God's sight. God has that power. And I'm teaching obedience. God has given us. We got it right here. God has given us everything to follow. All the instructions, all the patterns. We don't add to it or take away. Doesn't need to fix them. God gave it to us right the first time. We know exactly what He wants and what He expects. And it has not changed from when He gave it to the Israelites to what He expects from us now. It's all there. I think Proverbs 31 is a beautiful combination of all the characteristics and instructions that we're supposed to follow. I'm not going to read it word for word since it's so long. Kind of hit some points on it. The things we thought about teaching and preparing, being discreet and chaste and good, all those characteristics, kindness, joy, love that we've gone through already. She has them here. She has high moral standards. She's chaste. She's pure in thought and conduct. She's valuable. She's more precious than jewels. That's like that precious in God's sight. She's trusted. She doesn't give her husband any reason to doubt her. She's discreet. She uses wise judgment. She does good all of her life. She applies herself. She's not lazy. She takes care of her family and others. She's preparing constantly for the future. She's using money wisely. She readies herself. Things are ready at home, prepared, and then she goes and helps the needy. She doesn't fear the future because she's prepared. She has her family prepared. She works for what she has. She's faithful and strong and respected by her husband. She'll be rewarded and able to rejoice in the end. She's trusting God's future that He has told her about. She speaks with wisdom and kindness. Again, she has to know it, to live it, and to be able to speak it. She's constantly watching over her home and family. She's loved and blessed by her children. She's respected and appreciated. She's praised by her husband. Her inner beauty is praised. Quality character. She doesn't brag on herself. Her works and actions say it all. She's not living a prideful life. She's living a life that God wants her to live, and it teaches others. And says all it needs to say. Look at a couple of Proverbs here. Proverbs 12:4. An excellent wife is the crown of her husband. She who causes shame is like rottenness in his bones. You think of a crown, what do you think of? Shiny and clean and displays something of beauty and character. You know, nice. You know, fancy people wear crowns. Looks good, you know. You think of it with rottenness. I think about something nasty that we've got to put in the back of the refrigerator that I don't want to open the container of, you know. It smells really bad when I throw it out. Rottenness. Or it's the dead bird that the dogs drug around the yard and, you know, it's half eaten and they left it on the driveway for me. That's rottenness. Think about the comparison of those. An excellent wife is what he's going to want to show, is what's worth seeing. Shameful ones like a smelly dead bird in the driveway. Proverbs 14:1. Every wise woman builds her house, the foolish pulls it down with her hands. The wise woman, to build my house, I encourage and I strengthen, I teach, I put a good foundation at my home with my family. The foolish woman pulls it down with her hands. She sounds like the complete opposite of Proverbs 31. The foolish woman is pulling her house down. Proverbs 18:22. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. He who finds a wife who is doing what she should and is a good thing, and he gets favor from God. That precious in his sight. the blessing of the husband. Proverbs 21:9. Better dwell in the corner of a housetop than a house shared with a contentious woman. Everybody remember the houses of the Bible days? You know, block, got flat roofs, they used it at times. But it was open to the elements. It was open to the weather and the battle. Rain, hot. You could use it, but wasn't it always the best place to be? Contentious woman. Nagging, angry, negative. None of those blessing things we're supposed to do. He would rather go live in the corner of the housetop, fighting the weather and the battle and everything else, than stay in that house with that woman. In Proverbs 21:19, same way. It's better to go live in the wilderness than with a contentious, angry, negative, nagging woman. How much nagging and negative energy can we create is not how we need to live our lives. Not the way to go through a marriage. Any relationship. Marriage in this case. We're going to look at a few of these women. We're not going to go through the whole thing. We're going to talk about Noah's wife. You got some qualities for her? Supportive. Patient. Encourager. To stay faithful. It's a miserable time. She lived on that boat with those animals for a long time. More than that, she watched them build that boat, that ark, for a long time. What about, who remembers who Noah's wife is? It's not a trick question. She was eventually somebody's mama. Come on. Anybody remember? Samson's mom. Noah's wife is Samson's mom. Not what we call her by. She started out with Noah's wife. She had open communication with her husband. That man of God, an angel, came and talked to her and said, "You're going to have a child. Here's your instructions to follow." What did she do? She went to her husband and said, "This is what I've been told." And he said, "We need, let's ask him to come again so that they can teach us what we need to do." Those are key words. Us working together, what we need to do to teach this child and raise him right. And they carefully followed God's instructions together. What do you think of when you say Hannah? Prayer. She had a desire for children. She went to God in prayer. She knew where to put her trust. Turn to. And she stayed faithful. And she prayed for that child for a long time and waited for that child for a long time. And she pulled up her end of the bargain. She did. She gave that child back to God. Naomi did a lot of teaching with Ruth. Naomi's a slave girl. Anybody remember anything about her? There's only about two verses about her.
She was a little bit of a
right. She was the one that said, when she found out about, she was taking captive, she worked for Naaman's wife, and she heard about his leprosy, and she was like, "I wish he could go to the prophet of my land, of my God, and be healed." Even as a young girl, her faith, and she could teach somebody else, because that's what he did. That he turned. Went to the land of Israel. Anybody remember who Jehosheba or Josheba was?
She said she was glad.
She did. Was she raised by a pretty evil family? Let's see, she overcame Jezebel and Acolyth to some nasty people to save that baby who was going to later become king. And she married one. Made wise decisions with her marriage. Still raised by bad influences, she was married to a priest. So can you be in a bad situation and be faithful? Yes, you can. Anna. It's not Anna in here, but Anna over there. Or Anna.
widow? Been a widow for years? Elderly? Was she faithful? Or did she retire from that when she got old? Nope, still faithful, waiting in the temple. They brought Jesus in. She said, "He's here." And she went teaching, saying, "He has come." She never retired from belief. Never retired from her action. A couple more here. Dorcas. Remember anything about Dorcas?
Actually, I thought like maybe I thought like maybe people probably couldn't even afford to pay the back there, but she made it harder than anyone.
Mm-hmm. She died. She was mourned for greatly because she cared for the needy. All of us went. All the people came and said, "This is what she has made us. This is what she could do for us." She used what talents she had and used them. Lydia. Seller of purple. She was a hard worker. Where was she when they found her? When they came into the city. She was faithful with others, teaching. When they taught her about Jesus, she go, "Okay, I'll think about it." Readily heard it, readily accepted it, and then said, "Can come stay with me and teach some more. While you're in the town, you can stay here and teach more." She was a worker. We talked about Priscilla a while ago. She was a supporter, an encourager. She worked alongside with her husband, tent making and teaching. Eunice and Lois. Do you remember?
Timothy's mother and grandmother.
Married to an unbeliever. Yes. Support from her family. Had a very faithful child. Timothy taught and encouraged to spread the gospel. Stay faithful. Phoebe.
Serving the church in Tiberia.
Yes. She's one of my favorites, and there's only like two verses, but it says so much that if I could live that way and it be put on my tombstone, I'd be happy. Words that were used for her. Can you read that for me? I commend to you Phoebe, our sister, who is a servant of the church, Nisra, speak right, that you may receive her in the Lord in a manner worthy of the saints, and assist her in whatever business she has need of you, for she indeed has been a helper of many and of myself also. She was faithful. She was a believing sister. She was a servant of the church, worker for the church, helpful, helper, and in turn, worthy to be helped. Probably not the good. Because we don't want to do this part. Job Goliath, a very ancient church. She was not a support. She was not helpful. She was not an encourager in his weakest times. Had she gone through great loss? Where they lost their children. She lost all her stuff. Job stayed faithful. She didn't. But Lot's wife and daughter. Wife and daughter. Multiple wives. Lot's wife and daughter. Remember the story of Sodom and Gomorrah? Couldn't find faithful. Men came, Lot saved them. Being attacked, the men of the city told them to get out. The city was going to be destroyed. Lot, his wife, and his daughters were saved. She had a moment of weakness. She looked back. She didn't obey. His wife was lost. Daughters were still saved. Then they lost their faith. They got to the mountains and said, "What man is going to be with us? Nobody will ever be with us. Nobody's here. So we're going to split with our father so we'll have more children in his family line."
they were saved, saw that city destroyed, knew God's power, and didn't have enough faith to think that they were going to have somebody to help carry on their family line. So they took matters into their own hands. Piper's wife. Lovely woman, right? Oh, come on. I know you know who she is. Come on. There you go. Stayed after Joseph every day. Nagging him. Oh, come on. Be with me. Be with me. The whole life of her, just temptation she put, the lack of faithfulness to her husband. Lied about it. Didn't get her way with Joseph, so she lied about it. That's a lie. See, I don't want to be like her, don't we? My hero. Not. Not. Principal people. Let's just clear that right up. She also, deceitful, lying, used Samson's feelings and emotions to play with him. Oh, come on. Tell me you love me. Say you love me. You'll tell me how to, where your strength is. And then sold him off. We already mentioned Jezebel and that lie. They are just fine, upstanding characters. Yes. No. Poor influence on their family. Killed off, tried to kill as many prophets as possible. That's a lie. Killed off all her grandkids just to be queen. Self-appointed queen. How about her? She supported her husband? Yeah. She supported her husband. Unfortunately, right was great, but she supported her husband. They made a plan, sold some land. That was good. That was okay. Then give some money to the apostles. That was okay. Let's lie about how much. Okay, why not? Should have put her foot down. We were good up until there. Again, not as fitting in the Lord. The plan was fine until then. And she didn't finish it. Say what you lied. Any questions? That was 22 lessons worth in the nutshell.